In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, you'll want to get your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20 to a very familiar portion of Scripture. We are going to begin a study of the Ten Commandments, and this will be over two lessons. Now, it'll take more than one radio program to cover one lesson, but there were two. E.A. Elam wrote Sunday school lessons for this. For the Sunday schools of August the 22nd, 1926, and also August the 29th, 1926. And in so doing, he divided the Ten Commandments into two parts. The first four commandments having to do with the duties that we owe to God. And the last six commandments have more to do with the duties that we owe to our fellow man, beginning with that one, to honor thy father and thy mother. And so that's sort of the transition commandment there. And our first lesson is going to be about the Ten Commandments and their duties therein to God. Exodus chapter 20. In just a moment, we'll read verses 1 through 11. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's read the lesson text. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. And God spake all these words, saying, I am Jehovah thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image or likeness of anything that is under heaven, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, Jehovah thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and upon the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of Jehovah thy God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath unto thy God, Jehovah thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Jehovah blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Those are the duties man owe to God, as we find in the Ten Commandments. The golden text is found in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. Thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. For devotional reading, we're suggested to read Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The ordinance of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the droppings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Cleanse thou me from hidden faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be clear from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Jehovah, my rock and my redeemer. Let me read to you the helps and hints for the teachers. It was stated in the last lesson that, all things considered, it seems that the facts of the last lesson occurred after the giving of the law. Hence, the time of this lesson precedes that of the time of the last lesson. And it's important to note that everything in the Bible is not always given in chronological order. And so we see Jethro coming to Moses and giving him that advice that we studied about in the lessons previous to this. But now we're reading about the Ten Commandments. And the giving of the Ten Commandments must have come first. We're here at Mount Horeb as we study this. It's in the third month after the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt. The same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai and encamped before the mountain. Exodus 19:1-2. The appearance of God to Moses in the burning bush at Horeb. God speaking in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, Deuteronomy 4:15, to the children of Israel. The giving of the law from Sinai. The encampment of the children of Israel about the mountain for so long. God's appearance there to the loyal Elijah 6 centuries afterward, when he fled from that furious woman Jezebel in 1 Kings 19. And the frequent allusions in the scripture to the glorious and awful occurrences and scenes thereof, when God came down upon it to make this mountain one of the most memorable spots on the earth. As we have learned, Horeb was probably the name of the group of mountain peaks, and Sinai of that particular peak on which God met with Moses, and from which he spoke to the people and gave the law. In the New Testament, Sinai is contrasted with Mount Zion, and the law given from Sinai through Moses to the new covenant given through Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:21-31 and Hebrews 12:18-29. So God is on the mountain. Israel encamped before this mountain. Moses went up to God, and out of the mountain God told him what to say to the people and how to sanctify them that they might be ready for the descent of Jehovah upon Mount Sinai in sight of the people. And Moses did as God directed. We read about this in Exodus chapter 19, just before the giving of this Ten Commandments. Is on the morning after the third day God gave these directions to Moses, and there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud. These announce both the descent and the majesty of God. It is no wonder that all the people that were in the camp trembled, and that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, Hebrews 12:21. Moses then brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the neither part of the mount to meet God. What will it be to meet Him? To meet Him in the judgment? When Christ comes in His majesty and glory with 10,000s of His holy ones? The whole of Mount Sinai smoked because Jehovah descended upon it with fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. The thick cloud, the thunder, the lightnings, the loud, long, yet louder sound of the trumpet, the burning and smoking mountain encompassed in thick darkness, the terrible earthquake, they all proclaimed God's majesty and power and holiness and greatness and filled the people with deepest reverence and greatest awe. When the voice of the trumpet waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. The people heard this voice. When Jehovah came down upon the top of the mountain and called Moses to him, it is clearly stated that the people saw all these majestic and awesome appearances, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18. I think it's interesting about that horn that waxed loud, and the longer it blew, the louder the horn sounded. You know, men blowing horns don't do that. They may begin to blow loud, but the longer they blow, the softer the note becomes, because man gives out. But God is mighty, and the longer that trumpet blew, the louder it sounded. And certainly that must have been noticed by those people before that mountain on that day. And that was one of the reasons they would have trembled. Well, why all of this? It's that the people might believe in Moses as their lawgiver and mediator, and more especially, that with such evidences of God's power and majesty, they might be turned from all idolatry to the true and living God and to His pure and holy worship. Hence, they saw no form of God, but only heard the voice of words. Therefore, they were to take heed not to make any image of any sort, and not to corrupt themselves in any way. This led the people to see their need of a mediator, and to ask for Moses, such as it also led to the mediator between the new covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an application of this explained in Hebrews 12:18-24. The people heard the voice of God when He spoke, and entreated that no word should be spoken unto them. God spoke the Ten Commandments out of the cloud and thick darkness, and out of the midst of the fire to the people. While they heard His voice, they did not see His form. It was then they said to Moses, after God had spoken the Ten Commandments, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that ye may fear, and that His fear may be before you, that ye sin not." Exodus 20:19-20. There's a great need today of reverence and awe of God, and even of respect for God and His will. With all seriousness, these should be impressed upon all the worship of God and the work of His church. You know, we show reverence and respect for God when we show reverence and respect for the things that God has said. When we revere and respect the teachings of the Bible, we're revering and respecting the God of the Bible. And that's why we need to do this. Now, we're going to read about the tables of stone. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 1, it says, God spake all these words. You know, the word of God was first given as God spake the word. Now, later we're going to read where God wrote with His finger on tables of stone. It was just as much God's word when He spoke it as it was when He wrote it, wasn't it? But those two tables of stones Moses are going to take, and when he sees the sin of the children of Israel, he will break those. And God will send Moses back, and Moses will write the same words. And you know, they're just as much the word of God when Moses wrote them as they were when God wrote them, weren't they? You see, God used men to write His word. But just because men wrote them, they don't become the word of man. It is still the word of God, and we must acknowledge it and honor it as such.